Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Mako Mining. Traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MKO and on the OTCQX under the symbol MAKOF. We are chatting with the President and CEO, Akiba Leishman. Now, Mako Mining operates the high-grade San Albino gold mine in Nicaragua, which does rank as one of the highest-grade open-pit gold mines globally. Company also has a number of other projects that are really all around connected to that San Albino gold mine and the general San Albino gold project. Las Conchitas is another project that we are going to be talking about in this interview because of the exploration that is ongoing and going to be ramping up there. We also have Puerto Rios, which is more of a true exploration play. That will also be getting drilled this year, as well as La Segoviana, which is another true exploration play. Now, Akiba, let's get into a news release that came out at the beginning of February 2nd. It was expansion drilling at San Albino. We have some results from northeast and southwest of the San Albino resource. These are focused in the west pit and the southwest pit area. Let's just start off with overall recap of that drill program. What is the goal around the drilling that's right around the San Albino resource, please?
Sure. So we currently have six rigs in country. Four of them are operational, and then drill rigs five and six will be operational next week. So the four rigs that we had turning were focused on two programs, and eventually that's going to be expanded to three. There's the area around San Albino, which I'll get to in a second to answer your question. And there's the area around Las Conchitas, both in an advanced stage area to the south of Las Conchitas, a couple of kilometers to the south of San Albino, as well as five or six other targets that we're going after in the central and north area of Las Conchitas. So we have two rigs over there. And then eventually we'll have, by the summer, we'll actually have three additional core rigs focused on regional exploration that will be supplemented by an additional two reverse circulation rigs for what will be over 100,000 meter program that has just been approved. And we'll go over in a press release in detail about what that program is. Now, going back to the San Albino drilling. So for your listeners, the strike of the deposit, and we have a concession in our possession that goes for about 28 kilometers, about 188 square kilometers in surface area in terms of the size of our concession. And the general trend of the strike of the mineralization is from the southwest to the northeast. So just keep that in mind. Now, we put out a resource in 2020. And the main objective of getting a resource out was we took painstaking effort to make sure that we got the resource correct. We got the geological modeling correct. We were very conservative in our parameters about how we were going to be mining this, how we're going to be modeling this, and then also making sure that there were no speculative ounces in the model. So there were two things that came from that resource that would be what I would consider extremely low-hanging fruit. Now, the northeast of the San Albino pit, our data ended about 140 meters away from a structural fault to the north of San Albino. The mineralization continues on the other side of that fault, but certainly between our data, so where we actually had a drill hole that went in the ground and hit high-grade mineralization to that structural fault, there was no reason why the high-grade mineralization wouldn't have continued. Now, when we developed that resource, we only gave credit to about a 20-meter extension from the last data point of our database. So we went in and we drilled outside of any drilling that we've done before, but in areas that we expected to hit. So in the northeast extension of that pit, basically every single hole has been hitting fantastic grade straight up to that structural fault. And then we fully anticipate that the pit is going to be extended the full 120 meters or so outside of where that resource was cut off. Now, additionally, we recently picked up surface rights in addition to our concessions directly to the north of that structural fault, which is mineralized. We're going to be putting a rig on that sometime over the course of next week. It is our estimation that mineralization continues. It's going to be there. And if we hit, there's room for another San Albino on the other side of that fault. Now, to the southwest, it was a little bit different. So since 2011, when the exploration program really from our predecessor picked up somewhat in earnest, there was probably 12 drill holes that hit high-grade mineralization in the zone that we were drilling in this past press release to the southwest. And by high grade, there were individual assays on each one of those dozen holes that graded in excess of a half ounce material. Now, when we were establishing the resource in this area over the southwest, we were looking at those 12 holes, and it was like a jigsaw puzzle. We really couldn't make heads or tails as to why the hits were there. We did not have a good handle on the geological model in terms of where these laid in the ground. So we took a decision to basically take a big black Sharpie through this and assign a zero on the resource in this particular area. In fact, the entirety of the southwest zone, which is within our fully permitted for exploitation pit over at San Albino, we only left a very shallow, like a few meter deep pit that contained all of 450 ounces in the resource in the southwest zone, maybe about 150, 200 meters to the south of where we're mining right now over at the west pit. Now we've come back to that and then used one and then actually now two of our rigs over there to follow up on the southwest zone. And then lo and behold, every single hole that we're hitting is hitting certainly visually high grade gold. And then even the small amount of assays that we've gotten back are confirming that the southwest zone is real. We have the geological model down. We have a very good handle on what's there. And then obviously this is going to be a pretty significant and material expansion to the mineralization that is contained within the San Albino pit.
Okay, Akiba. Well, just to summarize this, just for investors that maybe don't have a good handle on all the different directional pits and everything, it sounds like there's two or three main takeaways I'd love to summarize. One being, it sounds like the southwest zone and that pit that you're drilling right now is going to have a lot more than 450 ounces by the time you're done with it. And so there's going to be massive growth in the southwest zone, but also on that northeast extension and moving the pit wall up and then the drilling you're doing on the other side of the fault. It sounds like there's room to expand San Albino to that northeast extension and the southwest pit zone. Are there any other main takeaways you want investors to get from the San Albino project as far as how you can expand it?
Sure. Look, and we mentioned that when we put out the resource, that this was completely open in all directions. It was open to the southwest along strike. It was open to the northeast along strike, and then also to down dip, right? So really, we haven't put a hole in anywhere in our deposit that was deeper than, let's say, about 130 meters vertically from surface, really since 2013. The end of the day is that these type of orogenic systems is that the veins, when there is structural continuity associated with them, are going to effectively go down to the center of the earth. So San Albino, even from an open pit perspective, is going to get a lot bigger. And we always thought that was the case. I mean, we've been very open with people about how we modeled that resource. But eventually, this is going to be an underground mine, let's say 3-4 years down the road from here, probably in combination with some open pit mining that we're doing in this area. And it's our estimation that even within this postage stamp on a property, this San Albino area, we can potentially have a mine that will last a very long time. And what we're finding elsewhere in our property, whether it's at Las Conchitas or even some of the regional prospecting that we're doing, so we're finding the same stuff, like 20, 21 kilometers away from where we're mining right now, all along strike. So we have a lot of opportunities to go and not only significantly expand our resource, but really to kind of put a stamp on this, is that our business model was to start a small mine, make sure we got the technicals correct, build the plant correctly, get rid of all the growing pains and teething issues associated with that, generate the amount of cash that we told people that we were going to be generating. This is an extremely profitable mine. And we start bringing in additional deposits. We'll expand production to 1,000 tons a day and then be mining at that level really for generations, because these types of districts and these types of camps, it is not unusual to find millions and millions of ounces of gold when all is said and done. In fact, the gold goes off the mineralization goes off our property effectively in all directions. So this is part of a district that's frankly more than 188 square kilometers of ground in this part of Nicaragua in a very different type of geology that you would find elsewhere in Central America.
All right. So Akiba, it sounds like you guys are hitting what you want to hit, especially in some of these expansion areas, and you're getting the mine operating the way you want to. What comes next then? Is it growing production, or is it showing the market that there are a lot more resources, simply building a bigger, larger resource base, preferably even higher grade as well?
Yeah, it's really all of them. When we laid out the business strategy for Mako, it was to our first step was to get a 500 ton per day mine up and running, the highest grade open pit mine in the world, to do it with the US $40 million of equity that we raised in 2019 and 2020. We have not raised a single dollar of equity since then. In fact, we started to repurchase a small amount of shares as well. And then once that got up and running in a disciplined fashion, to use the proceeds coming from the mine, from the cash flow coming from the mine, to go and finance those two other objectives, is to expand the operations to 1,000 tons a day and make this, let's call it a mine of materiality in the context of global mining. So instead of being a 40 to 45,000 ounce a year producer, you'd be an 80 to 90,000 ounce a year producer at 1,000 tons a day. And then to be mining at that level, literally for generations, by proving that this really is an orogenic gold mining camp. So even from the very early days of Mako, when it was Mako, back in 2019, our objective was to always focus on all three at the same time, but do it in a prudent fashion to make sure that the mine getting up and running served its purpose, which not only was a source of capital to fund the other two objectives, but it really was a demonstration of success, technically, making sure that we had the ability to model our resources correctly, the ability to build a plant, the ability to recover gold as we said we would through this very unique deposit.
Well, Akiba, let's shift over to exploration and how you're going to grow it beyond San Albino at Las Conchitas. And then I know you have the other regional targets, La Segoviana and Puerto Rios. Let's focus on Las Conchitas first. Of this large 100,000 meter drill program you have going and underway, how much drilling will happen at Las Conchitas, and what are some of the main targets at both the southern and the central north area that you're going to be focused on?
Sure. So we're going to be putting out a press release that will go over in painstaking detail about what this program is going to be about. So there'll be 7 core rigs, be supplemented with 2 additional RC rigs over at site. And then in aggregate, we're expecting this program, which will cost about $17.4 million, to process about 110,000, 115,000 meters in aggregate. About 86,000 of that would be in core for public dissemination. The RC rigs there are really for targeting purposes, and we'll process those assays in our production lab that will guide us for some of those exploration results. Now, of that program, of let's say the 110 to 115,000 meters in aggregate of the drilling, I would say mid 50% will be focused on Las Conchitas, thereabouts. And a good portion of that is on resource development at the south area, and then also the zones to the central and north parts of Las Conchitas, which on the north side, you're only talking about something that's about 500 or 600 meters south of the southwest pit that we were talking about earlier. We currently have one rig that's operational there, and that'll be supplemented by an additional cord and an RC rig to go over some of the hits that we've had in the past. One of the things that's missed on Mako and its predecessor is that the only time that the north and central area was drilled was in 2012, 2013, maybe about 1,500 meters was put in the aggregate in Las Conchitas. And then that was followed up on with a single line in 2018, which in aggregate was less than 1,000 meters over at Las Conchitas. It was basically there, I think, to put out a press release to see if our predecessor companies put out some good results. It was not there to do a real exploration program. So you have all this data where we've had hits that we've hit 5 meters of an ounce material over at these zones and these targets over here that literally has never been followed up on with a real exploration program. So even Las Conchitas, where the south zone we expect to be bigger than San Albino at some point, but the overall Las Conchitas land package, which in and of itself is still a postage stamp on our property, we anticipate being 3 to 5 times the size over at San Albino. Now, we currently have a single rig there that eventually is going to be supplemented with an additional 2 rigs and an RC to support some of those earlier stage targeting. We have one rig there that notionally was focused on condemnation work, right? Because we needed to permit a larger waste dump on the very north part of Las Conchitas, about 600 meters south of our current waste dump. gives us more space and more longevity in terms of where we're going to be storing waste. So one of the things that we want to do is make sure that if we're going to be piling millions and millions and millions of tons of waste material on top of something, you want to make sure that there's no gold underneath it, because good luck trying to get that gold later. So our first hole that we've put in, let's just say, failed as a condemnation hole, right? So even there, where we anticipate having kind of like barren material where we're drilling, lo and behold, we're finding some very, very good looking core. And then those assays from that quote unquote condemnation program will probably come out in a couple weeks, and it will show you that some of these targets that we have to the north that have basically never been followed up on can be material deposits in their own right. So when we announced the $17.4 million exploration program, it wasn't like we were running out of ideas and targets of where to drill, nor is it that we're capital constrained. The 500 ton per day operation can more than fund a $17.4 million program and delever the balance sheet, repay all the debt, and then even have additional cash left over for shareholder returns, et cetera. But what is limited is really our ability to ramp up our exploration team, our ability to process the data, to analyze the data, and to make calls on where the next hole is going to be. That's really the main constraint. Because in terms of targets and what we have, there are literally hundreds and hundreds of targets that we need to follow up on over the course of the next 5, 10, 15 years. And this is really kind of how we're looking at the business going forward.
Yeah, boy, oh boy, it sounds like you guys, A, have a lot of drilling ongoing and a lot of targets, and to add a couple more to the whole target portfolio, what about some of this regional exploration that you have on tap at Puerto Rios, at Segoviana? These are also all, let's call them in the same general area, but what's this other drilling that's going to be undertaken?
Sure. And even with that, there's like the low-hanging fruit and then kind of more of the true greenfields approach. So the low-hanging fruit is like what I was talking earlier about the Northeast Extension, is that when we picked up Puerto Rios, the concession actually straddles a river, the El Jicaro River, which is about 800 meters to the northeast of our west bit. Now, we're able to mine with a permit amendments to go to within 200 meters of that river. So there's plenty of space over there. And one of the reasons why there was never a drill hole that was put in between the structural fault directly to the north of our resource and the river was twofold. One, it was clear that the mineralization was displaced, so it was a little bit trickier to get control over where that mineralization was. And also, the top half of that area was part of the Puerto Rios concession, which was never owned by the company prior to 2020. We agreed to terms with another company at the end of 2019 and was officially transferred over to us at the end of 2020. And we only recently got drilling permits on that in November of last year. So the low-hanging fruit is it's clearly mineralized on the other side of that fault. We just have to get control of it. But if we hit there, we've got another San Albino. It's just there. It's like it's good. It just even some of the we're like making an access road to get ready for the rigs that are coming to site over the course of the next few days. And even in doing some of the road cuts, we're exposing mineralization. And guess what? That mineralization certainly looks like it's running with gold. So it's not like we're making a very speculative assessment that there's going to be something there on the other side of that structural fault. Now, the more greenfield stuff on Puerto Rios is on the other side of the river. Now we've extended the lineaments and kind of strike potential to what San Albino can be for another over 7 kilometers of strike. And part of that is on the Puerto Rios concession. And then part of that goes on to concessions that we owned prior to 2019, San Albino Mura concessions. And we've done detailed prospecting work over there where in terms of historical workings, pits, very, very sporadic outcrop. There actually isn't much outcrop in our site, but we've been able to sample things in situ with some old workings over there. And lo and behold, we're finding literally dozens and dozens of prospects that are containing 10, 20, 30 gram mineralization very close to surface. It gives all the hallmarks of being able to make a discovery on the other side of the El Jicaro River. Now, La Segoviana is a little bit different. So La Segoviana, probably the most extensive small-scale mining on our property is done over there. There's a gentleman and his crew that takes out, I guess about he's averaging about three, tons a day, which is for artisanal mining, that's a significant operation. So for us to put it in context, we're doing 500 tons per day over at San Albino, and eventually we'll increase to 1,000 tons a day. He's pulling out three, and that's considered to be very large by like an order of magnitude versus some of the other small scale miners in the area. But he's also very friendly. So we did a deal with him to acquire his surface rights, because he is a legal, so he's there legally, a part of the artisanal mining code in Nicaragua, and we've agreed to purchase the most prospective part of his surface rights over a period of a couple years. So we now actually have the kernel of surface rights in the most prospective part of La Segoviana, where we had underground access to go to this guy's very professional underground workings over there that saw the veins in situ. We were taking out samples. Some of them were grading 3-4 ounce material, and then some. And then when you actually take a step back and you see where his land is versus where some of the other historical workings and even current small-scale miners are, you can start to piece together what the strike potential is of La Segoviana. And it does not take a lot of imagination to see that there's something there that can be a multiple in terms of size of what we have over at San Albino, but it's never had a drill hole before. But now we're permitted. We got our permits to drill over at La Segoviana in December. We've got the kernel of surface rights over there. So we have the ability to start building, frankly, another mining camp about 15 to 20 kilometers north of where we're operating right now, with the ability to truck this material down at minimal cost to our operations. That's the other thing to keep in context. If we find mineralization that's similar to San Albino, 15, 20 kilometers away, the trucking distance is nothing with the grades that we're talking about. If we're talking about diluted vein material that's averaging a 1/2 ounce material, the dollars per ounce of trucking costs are de minimis.
All right, Akiba, man, a lot of information to take in there in terms of just all the exploration potential that is available to you guys. And then that just all ties into the production growth. Either way, a lot of drill rigs turning and even a couple more that are going to start turning in the near term. We will also post an image, a map from that most recent news release on the drill results that shows at least where that central pit, west pit, and some of those newer areas that are being drilled and released all relate to each other. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Akiba, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. And full disclosure, Shad is a shareholder of Mako Mining, and we'll definitely be having Akiba back on the back of some more drill results. Akiba, thank you for your time.
All right. Thanks, Corey. Thanks, Shad.